This is an HIV STRIPE webinar. It's a third presentation from the time we started. This is the last presentation we are having for the year. And my name is Abigail Kazembe, President for AfriHealth. And I'd like to welcome each one of you. What we'll do is to introduce our speakers. And we have four speakers this afternoon. We encourage you to write questions in the chat box. And each presenter will present for about 8 minutes. And we will have a discussion towards the end of the presentations. So that is our order for the day. In a special way, I would like to recognize Miatu Razak, who has joined the webinar. Welcome, and all of you. So now, in the interest of time, we'll start our presentation, first presentation. The first presentation is from Water Manges from University of Zimbabwe. Water is a psychiatrist by training and is the chairperson of the Department of Health Professions Education. Water, this is your turn. You may start your presentation. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you can hear me loud and clear. So I'm going to talk about CHIP, which was the Zimbabwe STRIPE HIV program. And CHIP stands for Collaborative HIV Interprofessional Partnership. My co-PI, Prof. Clara Aruzuisha, she's actually on as well, so she'll be assisting me with some of the questions later on. And I would like to acknowledge our mentor, Prof. Hakim. Now, Zimbabwe is in Southern Africa, and I've got a map there. And we have the capital city, Harare, where our University of Zimbabwe is based. And we're fortunate to be one of the MEPI recipients. So we came into STRIPE HIV as the MEPI recipients. On board, we had a remote center called Howard. That was in the rural areas. It's about 60 kilometers away from Harare. So that was one of the centers that we worked with. We also had Gweru. If you see it on the map, it's in the Midlands. It's actually the middle of Zimbabwe. It's the third largest city in Zimbabwe. And we've got a medical school there. And that medical school is still one of our new medical schools, and it was a non-MEPI recipient. In Bulawayo, which is our second capital city in the south, it also has a medical school that was part of this. And these two, the Midlands State University and the National NUST, the National University of Science and Technology in Bulawayo, with the two non-MEPI partners in our project. We had three levels. We took all three levels in our program. Where level one was to train faculty, to facilitate training of nursing medical students, allied healthcare, and pre-registered professionals in the case-based STRIPE HIV. Level two was we developed our own modules, one on quality improvement and the other one in interprofessional collaboration, and we actually piloted it. So that's what we did at level two. And level three, we rolled out the case-based STRIPE HIV to our non-MEPI partners in Bulawayo and Gweru that I mentioned earlier on. Now, what did we manage to do? In our proposals, we had aimed to cover at least 30 candidates in the Harare school, that's Parenyatwa. but because of an overwhelming response, we actually managed to stretch and we actually managed to train about 64 students. And that was between the 9th and 10th of October. It was a good mix of students, with nursing students, medical students, nutrition students, counselors, HIV counselors were there as well. And we had one or two physiotherapists. So that was a very good mix in terms of that. And also within Harare, we had a second teaching hospital called the Salim Mugabe Hospital, where we aimed to do 20, and we actually trained 35. And we did this between 16 and 17. We went out to Howard, as I said earlier on, 60 Ks out of Harare. We had hoped to do 10. We managed to do 22. So, you know, the STRIPE HIV IPE modules were well received. We were actually quite overwhelmed to the point that Parenya Twa, people kept applying to come and join us. So we then did an extra workshop on the 27th and 28th of October, where we had 48 recipients, which was so well received, and people kept insisting. And I think word was going round that it's a very effective way of learning. Level two, we did in Parenya Twa, where we had 15 candidates. We were rolling out our two modules that had been developed, and we managed to get 22 trainees for that one. We went out to NAST in February and March, NAST and MSU. NAST is the Bulawayo one, our second capital city, where we trained 54. And then we also did Midland State University in Gweru, which is the middle of Zimbabwe, where we trained 32. Now, I'll talk a bit on the level two. We identified four facilitators who were module developers. Two worked on the interprofessional collaboration module, and two worked on quality assurance module. What they did was we gave them tools in OI. They trained the developers were also the facilitators. They trained our professional collaboration mix of students in a workshop. They then went on to the OI clinic where they actually did an evaluation in terms of the quality and the operations of OI clinic using those tools. So this actually worked out well. We had actually planned to try and stretch ourselves out. So we had already started on webinars. And actually when COVID came in, we actually then were able to extend our webinars out to both the non-MEPI schools and other areas. So we thought that we would actually stretch out wide and deal with all our remote areas. A lot of them did manage to have access to internet connection, and we were able to attend our webinars. So this was an intervention that we were quite happy about. The qualitative feedback, there was a request that a lot of our students and our early career professionals had not had access to national HIV guidelines. So they'd actually asked that those should be made readily available. And there was also a request that we should have included a multi-drug resistant in the training as part of the training of this in HIV. And then they also advocate for updating the national guidelines with the available evidence, because a lot of our facilitators were physicians and experts in HIV, where they would actually sort of give in new information, which was probably a notch above our national HIV guidelines. And they were actually advocating that we should review them, bringing in the new evidence. Our university, the students appreciated this way of learning, and they actually encouraged that we should start this earlier on in the medical training and the health sciences training. And they also wanted other departments to be involved. The departments like nutrition, there are a lot of these other departments that often have one or two carers in the hospital, that actually said that if we could get those on board as well, when we upscale this. And there was also a request that if we could also have a bit more videos in the case space, that maybe some of the areas would be better served by us having videos of how our services are provided, probably in the ideal setting, where things work, and also in our setting, in areas that we may improvise. They felt like they need also for us to strengthen rehabilitation in the management of depression and HIV. And I'm very happy that STRIPE HIV is actually working on mental health wellness as part of the next new model. So in our feedback, we had gotten that as feedback. And also they wanted guidelines on newer regimes of the HIV treatment. So in conclusion, one of our key challenges was we had hoped to do a stakeholders meeting, and actually that we canceled last minute because a week before the scheduled day for our stakeholders meeting, just to engage our stakeholders on the work we had done, lockdown came in, so we were unable to do that. The STRIPE modules were well received, right? And a lot of the scholars in early health professions, cadres were very happy with this as a strategy, and there were recommendations that we should incorporate this into our institutional practice. They are in the case-based modules are very practical and were well received. And I think the next step now is to focus on faculty development so that we incorporate what we've learned from this exercise so that we capacitate our faculty in our universities to consider this as a educational strategy. So to end, I think this is a seed planted, and we should work at upscaling and working on this. And we're hoping that the main grant, which is the Zimbabwe grant, is called the Petra grant, will be able to continue with what we've started and build up on it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Walter. Let me just introduce
my pleasure.
You. Our co-facilitator, Dr. Fred Semitara, he will pick up the questions towards the end. Our next presenter is Professor Moza Mushabela. He's the Dean of School of Nursing and Public Health at University of KwaZulu-Natal. Professor Moza, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much, President and Chair. I should also acknowledge my colleagues, Fatima and Nisha as well. Thank you for the invitation to present. So I'm presenting the project at the University of KwaZulu-Natal called Switch, and the abstract we submitted is about flipping the switch. So SWITCH is strengthening the workforce to improve treatment and care for HIV project. And our main tagline for this project was flattening the hierarchy. And we adopted a more patient-centered and even went further to do more of a person-centered care and a team-based approach. And we emphasized the notion that even though individuals are trained in their own specialty or professional groups, the practice around the patient happens as a part of the team. So like us, we also had level three, whereby we had students that we were training in undergrad. We also had a program that we had to develop for decentralized care and engage other non-MEP institutions. And we engaged our university in Pretoria, Sfakamakgotho University, and the nursing college in Mpumalanga that we worked with, as well as the nursing college in KwaZulu-Natal. So for this presentation in particular, I'm going to focus on facilitators. I think that, as Walter said, this notion of faculty development is important, and we basically went ahead, and as we were designing the program, we realized that the central tenet of success in our program for STRIBE in the SWITCH project is going to be the facilitators. And from the beginning, we said that the success or failure of our program will depend on facilitators. So we set up an intensive process of training facilitators that we had identified, and basically went back to pedagogy, adult learning pedagogy. We emphasized interprofessional education and collaborative practice, continuous quality improvement. We even went further into facilitation skills because we wanted to make sure that they engage in facilitation of learning rather than the didactic form of teaching that we are familiar with. And they participated actively in designing the training, the intensive training for the students. And basically, they had to pair up and lead the modules themselves. And they had to come up with their own innovative ideas and creative ideas on how they're going to run it. Of course, they had to structure it around the pre-post evaluation that we did for the intensive program. But what we did was make sure that in October last year, we kind of unpacked these guiding principles for facilitation with their help from their experiences, from some of the literature, and we got some inputs. And some of you may have already seen some of these guiding principles that we developed, which later led to the development of Module 18 for STRIBE. And also, I think that we took advantage of social media to make sure that our facilitators will engage each other and students through social media as well. And then we kind of had debriefing sessions with them and focus group discussions where, after they had done the training, we will kind of go back and distill their experiences and some of the lessons that they've learned and suggestions on how to improve things going forward. And eventually that culminated into a reflection that each facilitator had to write of 1,000 words. This was sort of the module the model that we adopted. We were flattening the hierarchy, we were putting the person in the center. But around that, we had to make sure that we are drawing from different disciplines. You'll see that our facilitators came from different disciplines. Even though our students could only come from 3 professional categories, we made sure that our facilitators were diverse. And of course, these other skills around quality improvement, facilitation were important. But add to that the importance of local context to make sure that we contextualize the training and the modules that they were implementing. So you'll see here that we had a total of 40 facilitators that we trained. We started off with 25, but then increased them as a few were added and also included the facilitators from the other institution that we worked with. And we started off from the beginning wanting to build them as a community of practice, drawing them from different disciplines, but most importantly, we also included facilitators from the Ministry of Health who were basically implementing programs at a provincial level to be able to add to some of the more academic facilitators that were in the group. Now, some of the things, the feedback that we got from our facilitators, you know, the first one was in terms of this tagline. I think that they realized during the training, the facilitators themselves now, that actually it's important that we do not necessarily perpetuate this hierarchy in health professions. And they themselves were realizing that they benefit from their peers from different disciplines, and therefore the system as a whole will benefit from the whole team approach rather than pushing for one professional category. Again, in terms of facilitation and teaching, they went through a change of mindset, the facilitators themselves. They realized that to be able to implement this collaborative practice, there's a need for development of life skills. And also, it was important to continuously question what you see in front of you so that as facilitators, they themselves can engage in critical thinking for them to be able to inculcate that kind of thinking amongst the learners themselves. Now, you'll see here that for Switch, they saw that this as a way of planting the seed. And because it was planting the seed, it was not just in terms of the students themselves. They were also learning how to plant the seed for a larger program of interprofessional education and collaborative practice. At UKZN, we knew that we were strong with quality improvement, but we were not strong with IPE and collaborative practice. And so they enjoyed that even though it was just 2 days of intensive training, they could already see the growth in the students that organically taking place. And they wanted to think about how to take that and integrate it into their daily routines. And some of the older facilitators were also realizing that we talk in theory about interprofessional practice, but we don't do it in practice. And they were actually realizing that it's now feasible to take it forward. Now, they also acknowledged that the team, if we start with the building the team amongst the facilitators themselves, then that can also be transmitted to the students. So our multidisciplinary team of facilitators was able to demonstrate the feasibility of this approach. But also what was important was that they linked it to the fact that the health reform that is currently taking place in the country, especially those facilitators who came from the Ministry of Health, realized that at each level of the healthcare system, there's a team working there. And we needed to support that, including with this whole movement around the national health insurance. Again, the systems thinking became important. They had to embrace complexity in the way that they were thinking about things so that they can also open the door for the students that they were teaching to be able to think more in terms of systems, including healthcare systems, beyond just managing a patient. They were saying that it's a gap that we teach students how to manage a patient. We don't necessarily teach them how to work within a healthcare system. And just to also highlight the importance of a learning pedagogy here, that it needed to go beyond just stating facts and providing information. And we will know this as healthcare professional educators, that you need to kind of go higher in the levels of Bloom's taxonomy and Miller's pyramid and begin to question things, the why of things and the how, and begin to kind of go to a higher level of thinking in terms of being able to question the things that are presented to students. So the facilitators themselves had to adopt these approaches themselves. And also again here, there was a gap that was noticed, that we often teach in our modules, but what we teach is not in alignment with the National Department of Health guidelines or the World Health Organization guidelines, especially because these often get updated. So having people who came from the ministry helped for us to be able to make sure that our modules were up to date with current events. I've mentioned the community of practice that we embarked upon building from the beginning and also used it to strengthen the relationship between the Ministry of Health and the university faculty. Of course, there were challenges, and this, of course, included the fact that the 2 days was not enough. They would have liked to have a little bit more, especially because the 2 days were quite intense for the students. But for the facilitators themselves, it was quite exhausting. They enjoyed the content, but they needed a little bit more flexibility in engaging in discussions and not feel so much under pressure. And also, I think that in terms of mentorship, they would have liked to mentor students moving forward beyond the training. But because, again, of the congestion of the planning, it was not easy to implement this effectively. And I've mentioned the importance of incorporating IPE at the university as a way of doing things differently. So in summary, I think that our facilitators were able to develop new skills. They themselves were learning things, and they realized that they needed to change the way they teach, especially the ones who were in the university. And also just specifically around IPE, CQI, and teaching methods and so forth. But also they themselves were reporting that they have now made new networks. Even though they may be in the same institution, they don't often interact across disciplines. So they were able to form those networks. And they were now beginning to pursue projects together outside of what we had developed for them. And of course, the sustainability became important in terms of integrating IPE and CP in the broader approach that we were using and being able to continue this. And for us, because we've built this community of practice, and like we do it in healthcare, we often focus a lot on patients and not so much on healthcare workers. In this case, we wanted to make sure that we don't focus only on the students, that we focus also on the educators, because they are the ones who are going to sustain the program going forward. Just to say that I think that for us, we really played a lot with this idea of flipping the way we're doing things. We started off with the students, but we actually went further to flip it also in terms of the facilitators themselves and allow them to be able to experiment and do things differently. Think about a different way of teaching, which was not in alignment with the current curriculum, but we created the space for them to experiment and work together and support each other. And also just to think about how we can then change the broader healthcare practice by collaborating with the Ministry of Health. Thank you so much. And also, it's a pleasure for me to see all colleagues, including Razak and other colleagues that are present. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Professor Moza. This is really nice, and we are learning after each presentation. Our next presenter is Tandi Mwauloko from University of Malawi College of Medicine. Tandi is a senior lecturer and deputy head of Department of Medicine. Tandi, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Professor Kazembe. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Tandi, and I'll present on behalf of the Strike Malawi team. I was the PI, and my colleagues were Professor Johnson Mwenda and Dr. Jane Marewa. So University of Malawi College of Medicine is located in the southern part of Malawi, even though it has a campus in the central region of Malawi. So the project was mainly based in the southern part of Malawi. So it trains health professionals, doctors, pharmacists, laboratory technologists, physiotherapists, health managers, and upgrades clinical officers. So the only available current pre-service HIV training is only available to final year medical students and not the other health professions. So this project was aimed at HIV care capacity among HIV care professionals, so both pre-service and postgraduates. So the STRIPE training modules were adapted in October 2019 in Atlanta and then implemented. So we had two pre-service trainings in Atlanta in October 2019. And in March 2020, again, we had another 2-day training in Mulanje. Mulanje is a PEPFAR-funded site. So we trained a newly qualified health professionals. So we had pre- and post-test questionnaires to evaluate the effect So these were the partners and institutions that were involved in Malawi College of Health Sciences, Ministry of Health, Queen Elizabeth Central Hospital Lighthouse, and also Kamuzu College of Nursing. So we, 9 faculty members were trained. So these, 3 of them were internal medicine specialists. 3 of them were nurses, one from Kamuzu College of Nursing, 1 laboratory technologist, and 2 clinical officers. So for the pre-service training, we managed to train 45 final year medical students, 11 pharmacy students, 10 laboratory technology students, and 28 clinical officers. And for the recent graduates, we trained 8 clinical officers, 6 nurses, 1 medical assistant, and 1 pharmacy assistant. We did the mandatory modules, module 1, 3, 4, and 17, and also did module 7 and 8. So further on results, you can see that there was an improvement in knowledge if you compare the pre-test average and the post-test average, ranging from 6 to 22, with the highest on module 17, which was the pediatric module. It is important to note that the pre-test average was lower compared to the other modules. So looking at improvement in confidence, equally we can also see an improvement there, the difference ranging from 0.91 to 1. And we thought the STRIPE HIV project was successfully implemented in our institution and partners. And we think interprofessional education provides effective learning by the improvement in knowledge and confidence. And IPE provides an opportunity for teamwork and networking, especially for the non-clinical profession. We had a few challenges, even though I've not projected them here. Majority of our participants did not have devices for us to do online training. So even our evaluation was paper-based, so it was consuming a lot of time. COVID-19 happened, and this really did affect our activities. So we didn't manage to hold 2 of our planned recent graduate trainings. However, we managed to conduct a COVID-19 training for 15 medical students, and we think it was effective. So as a way forward, we're planning to include some of the modules during the current HIV training for final year medical students. And it was recommended by our participants that we should start interprofessional education earlier on in their training. So lastly, I would like to acknowledge our partners and our funders. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tandy, for that presentation. I would like to remind our participants to post questions in the chat box. Our next presentation comes from Scott College of Nursing, and Makabiso Lapoma will do the presentation. I didn't get time to chat to Makabiso, but she can briefly introduce herself. Makabiso, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. My name is Makabiso Rampuma. I come from Scott College of Nursing. I'm a nurse educator by profession. and I am the project director for STRIPE since August 2019 up to the end, which was August 2020. Are we together?
Yes, we can hear you very well.
I'm not sure if you have my presentation or you're going to share the screen with me, because I came late because I couldn't get in on time.
Okay. Can you use the share screen button on your screen? Down.
Let me see. I don't see it.
Okay, let me just check with the secretariat if they can share with you.
Okay.
They can do it for you. Meanwhile, you can still be talking about your school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we
it's coming.
Yes. There. No, this is not the one. This is the Malawi.
Yeah.
Malawi. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The Scott College of Nursing is based in the district of Maseru in Lesotho. It is a very small college compared to the others. We have about close to 200 students, but because of COVID, we had to defer an intake for this year. I would like now to start with my presentation, which is Strengthening Interprofessional Education on HIV in Lesotho at Scott College of Nursing. Now, my presentation will be based on the following outline: the background, the aim, the methods, results, conclusion, implications for practice, and acknowledgements. The background. I think we are all aware that as the health professionals, we do not easily confer with each other in relation to patients and how they are cared for. The example here is that a doctor will not be consulting with the nurse about how the patient is faring, but the doctor will just look at the patient, check the patient, after which the patient moves to the pharmacy. At the pharmacy, they get the medications and they go home. Now, here in Lesotho, we are aware that there are limited opportunities for interprofessional education in Lesotho. We are also aware that all professionals learn from their schools in silos. If it's the pharmacy, it will be the pharmacy in a pharmaceutical school, and the nurses will be in a nursing college, and so on and so forth. So these are trained according to their specialities. And different healthcare professionals interact only during provision of patient care, which is not even adequate because it is done in a very limited, during a very limited time and for very limited care of the patient. Like I have said, that once the patient has seen a doctor, then they move to the pharmacy, from there maybe to the laboratory and to the hospital where they'll meet a nurse. The doctors and the pharmacists, as well as the laboratory technician, do not sit together to say, this is how we are going to deal with the patient. So there is inadequate communication, coordination, and cooperation by professionals during their interactions, during service, or during the time when they care for the patient. The aim here is to describe participants' knowledge on selected HIV competencies after exposure to interprofessional education workshop. There were workshops that were held, and here we were looking at how best will these people interact during this time. So we wanted the clinicians to be together and learn together so that they will be able in future to talk about the patient outcomes. Methods. There were 7 interprofessional education modules which were adapted to the Lesotho's context. I think just like Malawi, we had the main modules, which were 1, 2, 3, and 17, 4 and 17. These are the modules that were looked at. But in addition to that, we added a few modules. But I will mainly talk about the modules that were of the main concern. So in November 2019, a total of 10 trainers, which was comprised of 4 nurses, 1 medical officer, 2 laboratory technicians, 2 pharmacists, and 1 professional counselor, were capacitated as training of trainers. Scott College of Nursing conducted 3 HIV care-based interprofessional workshops from December to February 2020. And the pre and post tests were conducted in each workshop. And these pre and post tests were online. We had to make sure that each and everyone uses a smartphone or we use our additional laptops. Thank you. Now, the results. These were the participants. The males were 25, the females were 50, and others were 7. This is the general number of people that were capacitated or who attended the workshop. The professional cadres were as follows. The laboratory technicians were 7, pharmacy technicians were 8, nursing and midwifery were 51, medical officers 5, professional counselors were 11. You'll be aware that there were more nurses than any other cadre, and there were even fewer doctors because these are the people who cannot automatically leave their workplaces to attend the workshops. So that is why you'll find that there are more nurses, and generally we know that there are more nurses in any nursing facility than there are other cadres. Now, the training level, the people who were trained, the pre-service were 28. These were the general nurses who had completed and now were into the midwifery program. These nurses were about 28 and they had not yet completed their midwifery. They were still at school. And 6 were the new postgraduates. By this, we mean that these are the people who had just completed their midwifery and now were into service. These were 6. And by new new members who were in service, we mean those people who had not yet completed 3 years. Anybody beyond 3 years was considered as an old graduate. So the old graduates were 48 in number. The results were as follows. Here we compared the pre-test and the post-test. For the 4 modules, which were new HIV diagnosis and ART initiation in women of childbearing age, which is in blue, That one which is in blue. The pretest was quite good. I probably think probably because in Lesotho there is high HIV and almost every nurse has been in contact with the management of HIV at any given time and at any given place or clinic. So 89% was pre-test. This was the average. And the post-test was 96%. The management of HIV, TB co-infection. Pre-test was 59% and post-test was 75%. This one also, it looks like people did fairly well compared to the pretest. PMTCT and care of the pregnant woman with HIV, the pretest was 67% and the post-test was 75%, which is more or less the same as management of HIV, TB, co-infection. The main challenge, I think, is that with the care of pediatric patient with HIV. Here, 46% was the pretest and only went up to 52%. I think we see this as a trend in almost all the areas that did these types of workshops. With pediatric nursing, the post-test was not as good or as the others. Now we'll go on to conclusion. Workshop evaluation by participants highlighted the value of interprofessional discussions that took place in small groups. There is limited knowledge on care of pediatric patients with HIV. I think I've reiterated that this is where the main problem is. Probably because of culture, probably because the youth or the young people do not want to take medications every time, or it is difficult to deal with them. But we see this as a challenge. Reasons for poor performance of such modules need to be explored and remedial measures implemented. This training enhanced appreciation of the relevant roles of healthcare professionals in patient practice. Now let's look at the implication for practice. The interprofessional education on HIV case-based training can benefit patient outcomes and quality of care in Lesotho, as we have seen that all the practitioners or the service providers work in silos. They do not discuss or talk about their patients. Hence, the need to ensure that there is some form of communication or some form of conferences that the health professionals can do. I would like, therefore, to acknowledge the STRIPE HIV team, the University of California, San Francisco, the Human Resources and Services Administration, HRSA, and Scott College of Nursing, the clinical sites that allowed their clinicians to come for training, and the training of trainers. It wasn't easy to get the doctors particularly, and all the participants who managed to attend the workshop. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mokabita, for that enlightening presentation. I now hand you over the webinar to Dr. Freddy Semidala, who is also a giant in STRIPE. Fred, it's over to you now. You can handle the questions if there are any.
Yeah, thank you very much, Abigail. And I take this opportunity to appreciate the four presenters, starting with Walter from Zimbabwe and going to Mosa. And then we also moved down to Tandi from Malawi. And lastly, but not least, Makabiso, who has just talked to us about her work in Lesotho. I have some questions, but I note that the time is really very limited. We have about 7 minutes. So I would like to allow members who are listening, we have over 31 participants all together. So I want to give the opportunity if there's someone who has a quick question or comment. I see some in the chat box. I think some are really to thank you for the excellent presentations. And I think Dr. Mayatu is saying he really appreciates your work. I think there is another one from Abigail thanking you. Okay, as I don't see any hands up, so I will just dive in to make some questions as we look, as I keep my eye on the chat box. So I think the general question I think when we presented, wherever we do present our work, I think it's very exciting. And I think what you presented is exciting people, as you see. But when working in these big institutions, and at least for Uganda recently, I learned that the National Council for Education has very strict kind of regulations. But my quick question is, how are you planning to integrate this within the institutions? Because it looks like for some of us, these are really long, laborious processes. And we are beginning to think very deeply about them, given that this is quite different from the current structure of training as we know it in our institutions. So that is one. Maybe each one of you can give a comment to that. And then for Professor Mosa, you said that, I think I liked the way you phrased your flattening the hierarchy. But I just wanted to know if you've done any follow-up evaluations to see whether, I think it worked well during the training, but I think time is a tester of many good things. So have you done any follow-up to check whether these the trainers or the learners have really continued to practice in the professional kind of practice where they respect each other and anybody can say something about patient care and is taken seriously? And then I have to leave some time for you to answer, but I think for the last presenter, Makabiso, you clearly showed that the module on pediatric care was not as well appreciated even after training as the other modules. Any reflections on how this can be improved in a setting where we think that children and adolescents and those age groups are still remaining at the tail end of the HIV continuum of care? So I'll pause there and allow you some time to make your remarks. I think each one of you could just respond either to the specific or the general comment that I made. Thank you.
Maybe I'll go first. The nature of the way we work in terms of interprofessional education, we are already working as a team. At the bedside. And I think what Stripe HIV has done, it has shown us that maybe rather than us being bogged down with just work alone, we should take time, whether it's inside room in the ward, to actually go through some sort of training. So I think it's something that can be done if we don't try and create parallel systems we stick to what we're already doing. I think that's the first thing. Secondly, they'll need for us to get some buy-in. And I think the other speakers that I've talked about, that that's often a very difficult process to do for us to get institutional buy-in. But I think it's still doable, so long as, unfortunately, when we did our, when we failed to do the stakeholder engagement, but I think that's something that we should still be thinking about once COVID restrictions improve and there's less infection. I think we still need to go to our stakeholders and see if we can get some buy-in to interprofessional education. So these are just my thoughts.
Thank you. We have like 1 minute, so I hope that people can really squeeze in their answers in there.
All right, I'll be quick. So yes, it's important to make sure that there's sustainability. And one test of that is from the beginning when we started, I was leading the work with my colleague Fatima, and we are at a point where we are handing over the work to this next generation who were the facilitators, and that they are now leading most of the work as we continue to do this work. So that's one test of it. The second one is because we are now training in health facilities, we are no longer in the pre-service, we are now in service. They are also leading most of the work in terms of ensuring that they are building demand for this kind of training. And lastly, just to say that integrating it into the curriculum and integrating it into practice is going to take a long time. But what we are embarking on is making sure that our community of practice are not, they are not just people who advocate for this work, but they are also knowledge producers. As they produce more knowledge around this, this practice, then we'll be able to sustain it and integrate it into our centers of health professions education. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Makabiso?
Yes. In relation to integration in institutions, luckily we have reviews or every Thursday here at the Scott Hospital, but also here in the Scott College of Nursing. We come together and review. If it's a maternal death, we discuss it together. So even this issue of pediatric HIV, we felt that we have to talk about. Secondly, as the institution here, we do go to the clinics where our students are based. We go for supervisory visits, and once or twice a year, we call all those people that were from that, where our students were based at the clinical, rural clinical areas, so that we can come together. That's when we do a little bit of some workshop, and also we look at what was, is it that the students were doing right? What is it that needs to be strengthened? So this is, these are the areas where the areas where we can talk about the issues of pediatric HIV, as well as how here at the college we can integrate what we have learned from STRIPE into the college. We plan, currently we are still doing the curriculum. So we are saying how best can we integrate this so that much as the curriculum would be tailored in a certain way, but we need to integrate these problems, that the challenge that we see into the daily teaching here at the school.
Thank you very much. I think these are really very interesting discussions, but unfortunately, we are 2 minutes on top of the hour, so somehow we have to wind this down. But as we do that, I would like to thank the presenters for the excellent presentation. Thank you for sharing your experience with us. Of course, to the STRIPE HIV group and AfriHealth for making this possible. Thank you so much for organizing this meeting, and the secretariat for all the efforts that you put in to make sure that we all hear each other very clearly and also we are able to see what people are presenting. The participants, you make this, worth, because if you are not there, then we'll be talking to ourselves. So thank you so much for prioritizing this meeting. And I hope that each one of you has learned something from here. Last but not least, to my co-chair, Professor Kazembe, thank you for the opportunity for me to work with you on this. So I don't know if there's any communication from the secretariat. Otherwise, I thank you all, and I will just hand over to the secretariat in case there is something they want to communicate as we close.
I think since time is up, we'll just thank them for participating, and we'll hear from us if there's anything coming up. Thank you so much. Have a nice day. For those of you on holiday tomorrow, enjoy your holidays. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.